And welcome to another episode of Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine. And my name is John Kudus. I'm your talk show host. Today is 22 September 2007, the one day after 21 September. And you would guess, why do you say that? 21 September, supposedly the last day of the summer. Now, the last day of the summer, it means that a lot of predictions were made that at the end of the summer, there will be a war. Iran will have a nuclear device detonated, or certain cities will be sacrificed. There's a long story about people preparing for something horrific going to happen, so that you have this panic and you have this the crash of the dollar, and you know, there's so many things that people are preparing for that could happen. And one of the network that I'm listening to, all those different alternative media and alternative people doing research, they all talk about the deadline is the last day of the summer. And now we are one day later, and nothing happened. I'm happy, actually. I'm happy. I mean, come on. Nobody wants that something stupid as that will happen. And I hope sincerely that that there are some insiders within the government that are actually fighting back, you know, that not everybody within the government has to be bad. So it could be very well that that certain insiders are also fed up with Bush and fed up with this government and are actually doing something about it. So maybe there is an internal war going on and preventing us for disaster. I don't know if people have seen it, but the former head of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, was on a talk show admitting that the moment that the dollar were not connected to the golden standard, it's just paper money and it's not backed by gold anymore, he admitted that. He said, yes, then we have to have a kind of federal control. So he admitted that that so-called we live in free trade and everything is free, but why do we need a Fed, was the question. You know, why do we need a Federal Reserve in the first place? Why should there be regulations and control over something that supposedly must be ruled by the free market? So is this a free market, or is it... And then this discussion is very impressive, because actually, if you listen carefully, Alan Greenspan admits publicly that actually your dollar is not backed by gold anymore. It's just fake. It's just fake money. It's just... And he, you know, talked about that there's a chance that the dollar will fall and that more and more people will go to the euros and other currencies. And because him talking about it, and not he alone, but more, you know, famous people predicting that the dollar will fall, that in itself is enough that the dollar can collapse. So even if there are no hard evidence that it could fall, By famous people talking about it, that in itself can generate that it will fall. You see what I mean? So they can be held responsible for talking like that. You know, if you talk about national security, a part of the national security is also important. You know, what will happen with your economic situation? Because that has also an impact on security as well. I mean, come on, if the dollar crashes, like what happened in the 1929, when the crash happens, there was total chaos in the world. So there is a connection between artificial collapsing of a currency and then the dictatorship coming afterwards. So there's a connection there. So people have to be very careful when they talk about possible collapsing of a currency. And if people say, I don't care, you know, so you don't care if your money is worthless. Think about it. And that you cannot, your pensions, your savings are worth nothing anymore. Think about it. You work so hard. And normally, it's obvious if you work for something, you get something in exchange. And if that turns out to be worthless, then I don't think that you're so happy. So therefore, there is a connection with the national security issues and economic affairs, because if that's going to collapse, they go hand in hand. So I think all of those who are talking about doom and gloom are actually have to be held accountable for a possible collapse of the dollar. And they even blame it on others. You know, that's the easy way, to blame it on Chavez, you know, Venezuela. decided to invest in euros and not in dollars anymore. And then, of course, the threat of China, that China is talking about dumping the dollar if they're not allowed to invade Taiwan, and if they're going to, you know, create a war because of Taiwan, then the dollar will also be dumped. So there is too many countries talking about dumping the dollar, and all of it, if you connected all of it, and then the gold price is going very high now. I think the gold prices are as high as in the 80s, just before it also collapsed. Everything collapsed. So there is a connection there. And not want to scare you, but if you want to have a police state and you know, martial law, that can only happen if there is a total chaos in the world. Now, one of the origins of the total chaos and could be a temporarily, artificially generated collapse of the dollar. But this is not the item that I wish to talk about, by the way. I want to talk about another topic that I'm talking way too long about this issue, because that was not my intent to talk about this issue. I actually want to talk about something else. In about 25 minutes, I will call a friend of mine on Pal Talk. His nickname is Caesar Effect. His first name is David. He was in the military, had some strange encounters, and he also had a UFO experience. And he's kind of a critical guy who are, you know, monitoring UFO rooms for a long time and trying to test people, how they respond to certain issues. And we get along very well. Caesar Effect is his nickname, and David is his real name. And I interviewed him before, that was approximately a year ago, but I feel that he has much more to share, and it will be in approximately 25 minutes countdown, and I will interview him live, talking about his experience. Now I wish to share with you with something else that I prepared for, that you can do your research on. I wish you to email the answers to me. So type down my email address, that's john@untoldmysteries.eu or .com. Both will work. So again, John, J-O-H-N, and then @, and then untoldmysteries.eu from Europe, or .com is also working. So you can choose. So there is questions that I'm going to ask, and you're going to answer the questions with yes, with no, or with an amount, like many times, or 10 times, or 3 times. And, you know, the answers must be very short. So don't type much down. You know, you can actually give some comments on the question and answer, but be brief, to the point. And what you do is you type down first the number of the question, then type in the answer. And if you do it in chat, please do it in chat so that I can see the answer and the question related to each other. So when you're typing in the chat in Pal Talk, type first the number of the question and then, you know, type in the answer, yes or no, or the amount. And the questions, when you hear the question, you don't have to type in the question itself, only the number, and then type the answer. And that is also for the people listening to bbsradio.com at this moment. You can also type, write down number one, number two, number three, and then give me the answer and send it to my email, john@untoldmysteries.eu. That's also my webpage, Untold Mysteries. The first question, and this questionnaire that I'm going to do with you all now, will be approximately 10 minutes, so it's not that long. It's important that you send your name and your first name or your nickname with the numbers and the questions to me, to my email address. It's very important. Or you do it in the chat, so in the Pal Talk chat. And again, if you don't write down the number of the question, it's confusing. You see what I mean? Then there's no way of understanding. So you have to type in number one equals, and then the answer. Here it comes. Number one, and the title is Searching for Key People. And I talk about worldwide key people. Do you know who you are at a soul level? I know it's a strange question, but try to be spontaneous and, you know, type in one or no, you know, type in yes or no. Number one is yes or no. Number two, do you know your soul parents, the origins of your soul? Weird questions, I know, but what pops in your mind, you can actually say yes or no. Three, how many times do you think or feel or experience that you have information or awareness downloaded to your brain for later purposes, special for between now and 2012, that you actually have some awareness about the future somehow obtained and through dreams or through whatever, and that you feel that you have vast knowledge given to you and you don't know what to do with it, but you feel that something is given to you for future purposes, especially between now and 2012. Number four, question four. How many times have you had visions or dreams that came true? You know, how many visions that you had and that it turns out to be truthful or part truthfully? Number five, how many times do you feel that you have a task to do to prepare humankind for the upcoming transformation towards 2012, that is already happening, by the way, but that you feel, I have a task to do to prepare humankind. How many times do you feel that you have that? Always? Have you had that occasionally? So number five, you type in five and then the answer. Number six, question six. How many angles do you feel you need to investigate with a complex, controversial subject? Is it only one angle? Or do you think you have to allow yourself to investigate other possibilities that you maybe overlooked? Do you think you have to only have two stories and that's enough? Or do you always have an antenna open that you want to know more about controversial subjects? So what is your character on complex, controversial subjects? How many angles do you need or do you feel that you need to investigate something? Is one enough? Are you a guy who is so certain of itself? Or do you think, no, I want to learn more? So that's the question six. Question seven. How many science fiction movies, a weird question, do you consider part truthful to condition and prepare humankind for the coming transition or transformation? That's not question seven. So how many science fiction movies do you consider part truthfully to condition and prepare humankind for the common transition and transformation? Is it just one or two, or do you think all the science fiction have part truths in it? Question eight. Have you ever considered or felt that you have had an encounter with a time traveler? That you say, maybe I'm not meeting an alien, but I meet someone who's from the future. There are certain people who claim that, by the way. So question eight is, have you ever considered that you felt that you had an encounter with a time traveler? And now, question nine. Are you aware that you can be a victim of many different types of mind control? Yeah, I know it's a difficult question. Some people don't want to think about that concept. Question 10. How do you protect yourself not to be a victim of mind control? Now, that's an open question, so that takes more time to write down the answer. Some people visualize themselves in light, and some people pray, and some people use the key of Faraday, you know. There are many ways to protect yourself from mind control. There's so much that people are not aware of that they can do. So my question 10 is, how do you think that you can protect yourself not to be a victim of mind control? Question 11. Do you feel that some of the crop circle symbols are triggering a part of your brain subconsciousness? So again, listen carefully. Question 11. Do you feel that some, not all, some of the crop circle symbols are triggering a part of your subconscious, and that you may be going to dream about it, and that you get being triggered to be awoken or something, that parts of who you are will be activated somehow by just watching the symbols of the crop circles? Again, some, not all. 12, question 12. Do you consider that the full disclosure of the alien presence by our world governments, United Nations, can be very extreme one-sided and serve a hidden agenda of secret societies to create a fascist-like New World Order agenda with police state system? So it is a very complex question, I am aware, but it's only simple. Yes or no? Do you consider that when there's a full disclosure of an alien presence by our world governments, by United Nations, it can be very extreme one-sided and serve a hidden agenda of the secret societies to create their New World Order police state system? That's question 12. Maybe you don't consider it. You say, no, I'm not considering this. 13, do you feel, think, or know about Planet X, Planet Mbubu, when you hear the stories about them? And that's only for the insiders, those who are in the know, or those who feel that they are a contactee or an abductee or have UFO experience. So this is a question more for the experiencers. So question 13 is a kind of difficult question. Do you feel, think, know that Planet X or Nibiru is wanting us to become slaves, and that our planet was just a breeding zoo to be harvested for later purpose, but that the caretakers, those who left behind, the watchers, disagree with their superiors and are going to rebel with other alien beings to prevent us to become slaves? So part of the Anunnaki, the part of the people who are the so-called caretakers of this planet, the caretakers of the zoo, are actually becoming rebellious against their masters, and that we are having a unexpected allies together with other types of alien beings who actually help us not to become slaves. Well, I know it's a very complex question, but for the experiencers, I think it's a genuine question. Question 14. Do you think, feel, or know that there are ancient beings who live in the oceans, having many, many deep underwater cities, that are beyond dualistic thinking, and interact with other several ancient ETs, part reptilian, and they don't have to be negative, by the way, who are having a total different agenda than the Greys or the Orion reptilians? So do you allow yourself that it could be possible that there are ancient beings living in the oceans, parallel existing with us? I always tell the story about when I walk in the forest and I see a lot of ants, and the ants walking there, they are not aware of me. I mean, I assume that they're not aware of me. Maybe they are intelligent, I don't know. But I think that they don't know that I exist. Let's say that I take one ant out of his neighborhood and I bring him to another location, and he's aware of me, that I'm doing this to him. It could be very well that if the ant go back to his original place, that he cannot comprehend or explain what he has experienced. That the other ants will laugh at this person, of this ant, like you're crazy. Like the fish. If the fish is going to be taken out of the ocean into the boat and thrown back in the ocean again, how can a fish explain that to the rest of the fish? Of course, they don't talk to each other, but it is the symbology that counts. The problem is what you are accustomed to and what you're used to have is what the tools that you have is that you're just swimming in the water. That's it. Unless someone takes you out and you have a total different experience. There are no words for the fish to describe to the other fish. You see what I mean? And maybe that's exactly what is happening with the humans. Humans having experiences beyond comprehension, and still it's happening. So it could be very well that there are alien races doing something with us, and we are confronted with things that are definitely happening, but we have no words to describe it. Same as with the ants. You know, they're not necessarily aware of us. We exist parallel. You know, the ants exist, we exist. But the ants doesn't know that we exist. It's the same with UFOs and aliens. It could be very well that the majority of the humans have no clue what is out there, but still they are living parallel with us on this planet. You see what I mean? So that's this underwater bases and underwater cities that maybe there are ancient beings living there parallel with us, and we are not aware of it. By the way, there is an excellent documentary talking about deep underwater UFOs, USOs, you know, UFOs coming out of the oceans, reported worldwide by the Marines and other sailing men seeing UFOs coming out of the oceans. So that is happening all over the globe. So it could be very well that there are cities, but they are not interesting to share their knowledge or their wisdom with us like we do not talk to ants. You see what I mean? Question 15. Do you feel that there's a huge network of independent key people around the planet aren't being activated to have a purpose, not to promote group behavior, not to promote follow the leader syndrome, but to activate your own authority and to empower yourself without the need to use or abuse anyone for your goals? Now, it's a long question. I know it, but it's an important question. Because there is a huge network of independent key people around the planet being activated to promote not group behavior, not to follow the leader, but activate your own authority and to empower yourself without the need to use or abuse anyone for your goals. That's question 15. Do you feel that that's happening? That there's a chain reaction going on at this moment. And question 16. Are you aware that any kind of fear on whatever level is a blockage of your intuitive powers? That's a hard question. Question 16. Are you aware that any kind of fear on whatever level is a blockage of your intuitive powers? 17. Question 17. Are you aware how important your quality of thinking is? And that you have responsibility for that. Because you know that you are a co-creator. And you do not have to suffer or have any kind of self-pity. You know, victim mentality creates victim reality. That's one of the slogans of David Icke. Questions 18. Are you aware that any behavior you see, you will be mirrored back, including from the alien beings, especially between now and 2012? Now, that's a confrontational question, because people who think that it's important with certain behaviors that you have, that is the only way how you have to be aware that you'll be mirrored back, and what you know, how you behave will be mirrored back, including from alien beings, if you have encounters with them. They reflect your behavior. Not always, of course, there are exceptions. Question 19. Are you aware that any need of control over anything is a statement of distrust of your true self? Now, that's a deep one. That's a deep question. I love deep questions. So, are you aware that any need of control over anything is a statement of distrust of your true self? Question 20. Do you allow others to have their own pace in evolution of comprehension and understanding? So, do you allow others to have their own pace, their own rhythm, their own evolution of comprehension and understanding? Most people have difficulty and are impatient, of course. And the last question would be, do you feel sometimes that you're sitting in your body looking through your eyes like windows? And that question was from Sadhguru Newfontaine, author of books and DVD, manfacedgods.com, is his website. And the last question, the other 20 questions were made by me. So I hope you can send the answers to my email address, john@untoldmysteries.eu or .com. Both will work. I prefer that you say .eu because from Europe, because that's the direct link to my email address. And if you don't know how to write down Untold Mysteries, go to unexplained.eu, and there you see the title, Untold Mysteries. So unexplained is easy to write down, and then .eu from Europe. Okay, it's soon I can, yeah, I have now the opportunity that that David will be called, so I give the request to Donald that he will call the radio guest of today. I'm anxious to hear to see the answers what people are going to give to me. And by the way, in Pal Talk, people also giving me answers as well. I will read all the answers in Pal Talk room and then save it to a file. I'm going to watch it. So if Donald Newsom is hearing me, please can you call the guest, because I told you it will be in 30 minutes approximately. And I know there's also a break, of course, a kind of at the end of the show there will be a musical break, so I need to talk now. I hope you can hear me. Donald, can you hear me? David. His nickname is Caesar Effect on Pal Talk. David?
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Good to hear you again. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for asking me to come on the show again.
Yes, I have to say that my voice is a little bit echoing, so I have to ask Donald to do something about it. Okay. David, welcome to the radio show. I interviewed you before, approximately 1 year ago.
Yes, sir.
And I know that you have some strange experiences and that you are monitoring all UFO rooms on Pal Talk.
Yes, I go into a lot of the UFO rooms, but I also go into conspiracy rooms where the government's concerned and do a lot of research in both of the areas. Along with anything else that might be brought to my attention. I find that a lot of people out there that I don't really have to search for stuff, that when I'm ready as a human being or as a person, somebody will mention a book or somebody will mention a site or somebody will mention somebody that furthers my studies and my understanding.
What happened in your life that you are saying I'm more focused on ufology and aliens, possible aliens, and conspiracies? What happened to you in your life?
Well, when I was 15 years old, like most people possibly, was real big into the church, and I remember having a lot of doubts about wanting to know this entity, God, and so I prayed a prayer that, you know, that I find the truth out, that I find the truth and the truth, that I know the truth of the whole matter. And that sent me on a quest over, and that is still going today, but sent me a quest over a good 20-year period of researching not only religion but all religions. And then that led me to the mythologies of the Greeks and Romans, and where their gods came from, and then that led to Egypt and Ra and their gods, and then that, of course, led to the pyramids, which led to the alien entities that could have been here. And during this time, when I was in the Navy, I'd had several experiences that really couldn't be explained. You probably heard what is his name? Bob, the man that wrote Behold a Pale Horse?
Yes, that is William Cooper.
William Cooper, right. You probably heard him talk about, he was in the military, in the Navy, and he was on a sub, and they had surfaced, and he saw a disc come out of the water. Well, I wasn't on a sub, but I was on an aircraft carrier, and when given the chance, I would go out to the sponson, which is, they have different sponsons. They hang off the edge of the ship, and you can just stand on them. They're meant to hold stuff like weapons and repeater guns and stuff like that, or just supplies. But you can go out there and stand by the edge of it and kind of look out. And I remember seeing, we were in the, it was very cold, and that was very unusual because we didn't go to, we were a Westpac, and it wasn't supposed to be cold anywhere we went. And I actually had to have a jacket on, and I was still cold. So I still don't know where we were, but a little bit later, two bears flew over us, and we were told, you know, that they were going to fly over us. And so I think that we were somewhere around the coast of Russia, where we had to be, if they were flying, or maybe in the Antarctic to some extent. But the point is that I saw a disc in the water, and I just barely caught a glimpse of it, you know.
And how many other witnesses saw the same object that you
just
saw?
Just me. I was the only one out on the sponson at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the big kicker for me was, and I don't know if we have enough time for me to talk about this, but I'll try to talk about as much as I can, and please stop me if you have a question or if I'm not very clear. But
yeah, what I know is that you had an experience in a underground base.
I had an experience going into the city that's underneath the Denver Airport. If that's what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, well, who told you that?
You.
I told you that. Did I really?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that was actually after my Navy career. And I was actually flying out of Denver Airport. I was living in Denver at the time. And the Denver Airport had been just opened up and had been open for maybe for a year. And most people that don't live in Denver don't know what kind of things went on with actually moving the airport and building that airport. Nobody wanted it. There was a lot of shady deals done to get it done and so forth, and it just was not something that the people needed in Denver or wanted or voted for. It was all done under the table. And I was sitting there waiting for my flight to board so I could leave, and I was sitting at the Burger King stand that they have there, and I think I'd bought myself a soda, and I began to notice all the cameras that were around, and that they moved quite frequently, but at different time lengths. It wasn't like they were moving under a computer guidance. They would move, and then they would stop, and sometimes I would time it with my watch, and sometimes they would stay a minute at a certain place, and sometimes they would stay 15 seconds and then move on again.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was watching this one camera, and I just caught this by accident because I happened to be watching this one camera, the wall opened up. There was a door in the wall that you wouldn't know was there if you were just walking by, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
If you were actually looking, you really couldn't tell it was there because of the way that it was framed in. It just looked like part of the wall. And this door opens up, and people come out of it, and they're talking and laughing, and I didn't think much about it at first, and then I started looking at the wall for the door, and I realized that I couldn't see the door or the frame of the door, and it just looked like part of the wall, and so that intrigued me. And so I began to fixate on that part of the wall, and again, some people came out of it, and I'm like, that thing just seems to come open, and then you realize there's a door there, but until it does, you don't even know that there's a door there. It's just part of the wall, and that really intrigued me, so I began to watch it, because I had, my friend drove me up there, because I didn't want to leave my car, and I had quite a bit of time before my plane left. And so I began to watch it, and I got really intrigued, and then I noticed that the camera had stopped and fixated on me. And I didn't think much about it at first, because it just stopped, and it was like looking in my direction. Hello?
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 Is there someone who's calling?
Not me.
Yeah, maybe someone else is phoning in.
Oh.
I have a question. Is someone extra to this phone line right now? Question. Okay, well, let's continue. Maybe something went with the technique.
Okay. So I was watching this door and watching people come in and out of it, and I just happened to see that most people didn't take any notice of these people coming out, which was strange because I caught on to it when I saw it. I didn't take any notice to it until I saw this door open up from the wall and realized it was a door. And then I was kind of fixated on it. But everybody that was walking around, and you have to understand that this was a busy section. This was one of the main parts of the airport. And
I also know that Denver Airport, the underground bases, is connected to the secret societies because they are full with Masonic symbols there.
Yes, a lot of the paintings and a lot of the artist sculptures and stuff like that has great Masonic meaning or great Masonic symbols on them. Even up to the point, there is an actual a statuette of a ship in water, and it's what Beza had made and put there. And it actually shows the eagle wrapped in the American flag dead in a coffin that's like a ship on the water. And it says on the side of it something. I think my memory is real scarce on that. But in God we trust, in nations we conquer, or something like that. And there's a lot of stuff like that. Anybody that's done any research and went on to the links there's been a lot of good people that have taken pictures of the artwork and show you explicitly. And they don't mind you taking pictures, according to one man, that they were more than happy to leave
you around. If I'm at the airport in Denver, how far is the entrance of the underground base? Is it at the station itself at the airport, or is it a little bit further away,
well,
the entrance?
I believe that there are several entrances, okay? And I don't know that for a fact, but I would just assume, knowing how bases are, that there would be several entrances. And what the one that I saw was, one of many. In my belief, so, but the one that I saw that opened up from the wall was directly diagonally from where I was sitting at the Burger King stand that was there where I was having a soda.
Do you also agree with me that Area 51 can also be a decoy? That there is maybe much more to learn from other underground bases worldwide.
I think that they've done that effectively for all of our lives. Area 51 means nothing, and as long as they can keep their attention or everybody's attention on Area 51, that allows them. It's just like the Cold War. When you start looking at the Cold War and the arms race and the threat of nuclear invasions or detonating nuclear weapons, it was more like, it seems more like to me, a farce to keep you looking in one direction, and not really looking at what else is going on. If you look at the 60 years that was effective, and then you start looking at all the laws that they changed because of that, and we just seem to trade one enemy for another. Now we have terrorists, and I'm not going to say that the terrorists aren't bad, or some terrorists, that are extremes or extreme in their religion. I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying that, if it wasn't them, it would be someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it works. Because they don't want us to focus in. It's like the John F. Kennedy assassination, and you and I have talked, and your research on it has been just wow. But,
yeah, thank you.
We have talked about that before, and it's a horrendous thing that happened, and I understand that. And the day John F. Kennedy died, so many things changed for America. That was, in my research, in my eyes, that was the last president that ever tried to do any good for the actual American people.
Yes, and what also is important is that he had problems with the Jesuit order, and he confronted the Jesuit order. He being a Catholic, he should supposedly be a puppet for the Jesuit order, but he refused. So some people claim that that would be the last blow in his own face of survival, because if you refuse the Vatican, that is the end of the day. Then you have problems.
But see, the whole thing is everybody is fixated on the assassination of John F. Kennedy and what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
60 years later, we're still fixated on what we all want to know what really happened that day and who.
And the reason for it is that people intuitively feel that he was a genuine president. He makes his mistakes, but he's actually a lesser puppet than the rest of the masonry. Most of the presidencies are masons, and he was not.
Right. But see, the point that I get to is that's the smokescreen. We're never going to know. They're never going to give full disclosure. They're not going to tell us anything that they know. We're not going to be able to find it out. The only things that are going to come out is stuff that they want to come out to intrigue us a little bit more to bury us in the rabbit hole. And the rabbit hole goes so deep that it never ends.
There's also a document being released to the Freedom of Information Act.
The question we should be asking is, why was he assassinated?
David, there was also information being released through the Freedom of Information Act concerning John F. Kennedy talking to the United Nations that there must be a body that will study UFO phenomenon from both parties, the Russians and the Americans, because he was afraid that UFOs will trigger a World War III, and that he thinks that there should be a scientific body for the United Nations on both parties studying the UFO phenomena, because part of the UFOs are not necessarily alien or enemy, but can actually be interpreted as the enemy, and therefore can trigger the World War III.
Well, I fully believe that in 1962 that he had a committee, and he sat down with what we know as the Palladians, or what we call the Palladians, and they said, "Do not trust the big nose grays."
Mm-hmm.
They will give you technology, and they will give you everything that they can to ensure you sign treaties with them, but they are not trustworthy. We know them. We've known them for a long time. Do not trust them.
He said,
what do you offer? And they said, we want to work with your humanoids and their spirituality, but you must disarm every nuclear weapon you have. You must be at peace with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can work with you, because we cannot give you any of our technology. It would destroy you. You're not spiritually ready for it.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
They said we were spiritually off base. And that's what Kennedy started to do. That's what Kennedy started. If people start looking at what Kennedy was doing, he was actually disarming. He had made an agreement with Palladians to do that for the American people. And he started.
By the way, when Kennedy was wanting to having this committee of special, unique scientific body to study UFOs, he was being refused by the NASA official. I think James Webb is his name, and there are official documents that James Webb is asked by John F. Kennedy twice about UFOs.
Right.
And this is fascinating. Before he died, 10 days before he died, he said there are certain people in office that go beyond control of the normal way of oversight by the people. And he mentioned 10 days before he died about a possible coup going on.
Well, that's why he signed the Executive Order 632, I believe, which splintered the CIA, destroyed it.
Yes.
Because they denied a direct order for them to go down, and he did not fund the camps where they were training all the Cubans for the Day of Pigs. The President Kennedy did not know anything about that. Now, you're going to get people to say that that's bull, but that's the truth. He didn't know anything about the camps, and when they found it out and he ordered the CIA to stop all that they were doing in the training and to close those camps down, and they denied him, he got federal marshals to go down there and close the camps. And that's when he signed the executive order to destroy the CIA because he saw what they were.
I also heard there was an internal war between the FBI and the CIA, and that the FBI was used as a patsy.
Well, the FBI was taken over by the CIA a long time ago. I mean,
yes.
The CIA is not a government entity, whether anybody wants to believe it or not. They are not a government entity. They were signed into effect. The person in charge of it was David, not David Rockefeller, one of the Rothschilds. No, it might have been David Rockefeller, because he was head of the committee.
But if you study Alan Dulles and you study the foundation and how CIA was created, it was created with help of former Nazis, and that
exactly.
can be proven.
Exactly. And they hold no ties to America. It's just like the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
If you go on to their site, you see the Rothschild seal. That's what you see.
The CIA was the only agency that has no account. Don't have to be held accountable for what they do. So they have no. When they have a budget, normally you have to say what you spend your money on. But officially, that was the first agency that that the congressional knew that they had no control and no oversight what's happening, and that they don't have to be held accountable what they do. And that's the first time ever in history that an agency, a government body, is not to be checked out.
Exactly. And how do you give control like that to an entity? I mean, if I had the power to give that control to you, John, and I had the power to say, you can do anything you want. Just you answer to nobody. And
yes.
I have a question
in the PAL talk about your door, your sub door, like this strange door that is is it like teleportation? Is it like that they alter matter? What is it?
No, it just opened up from the wall, just like a regular door. You would open it, would open up, and then it would close, and you couldn't see it anymore. It was just a part of the wall again. And so after watching that for a while, I went over and stood by the wall. And really looked hard and still could not see the door. But
have you ever find out what kind of purpose that door had? Or do you find out what type of people are working there or what they do?
Well, of course I did. I stood by the door, and the next time it opened up, I tried to hold it open, and it was very strong, and I pulled my hand away, and I think if I hadn't pulled my hand away, because it was pressed up against the wall about that time, it might have cut my hand off. I don't know.
What kind of section of the underground base? What is what they do? Do you know what they did there? What kind of work did they do there?
Yes, sir. I was actually, the door opened back up after my hand got caught in it, and I was able to get it out. And the man that was standing there, who I can only assume was a security guard because he had that kind of dress, he was dressed and had a gun on him, said, "Mr. Goff, please come this way." And so I stepped through the door, and we walked down the little hallway there, and there's about four elevators, or what seemed to be elevators there. They look just like elevators. And he says, "Please wait here." And I'm waiting there, and a bunch of people come through the door and come down the hallway to where the elevators are. And one elevator opens up, and we all, they all start going in the elevator. The security guard hadn't come back, and I'm just looking, and they're all looking at me, and they're like, "Are you going to come?" And I said, "No, I'll wait for the next one." They said, "The next one won't be here for a while." And I really didn't know what I was, going to do, but I said, "I'm here. What the heck? Just step into the elevator." So I stepped into the elevator, and it starts going down and downward. And it opens up, and certain people are getting off, and some others are getting on, and then it keeps going downward, and it opens up, and some more people get off. And
how many levels are you going to go under? How many levels deep?
It wasn't even like that. There was no pad where you push buttons like an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed to go down, and it would open up, and then certain people would get off, and then it would close again. It would keep going down.
You don't know how deep. You don't know.
I don't know how deep because there was no pad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there. This is the interesting thing. I could have got off anywhere, and I didn't know what to do, so I just stayed there. And we started going down, and this is the only way I can say we were pretty deep, at least I think, because you know how when you're on an airplane,
mm-hmm.
your ears...
Yes, I know, yeah.
That started happening to my ears. And
they must be really deep.
and I was, like, trying to pop them, and I couldn't get them popped, and this wonderful African-American lady that happened to be there handed me a piece of gum. And she was probably there for a reason, and I realize that now. I didn't realize it at the time, because I was going to get off on a level, and she grabbed my arm and didn't say anything, just grabbed my arm and just kind of looked at me, and I stopped, and the elevator closed. And finally we got to a level where almost everybody got off, and she looked at me, and she said, "Are you going to get off?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Oh, you're going to the sub-level." And I said, "Yeah, I guess so." And she said, "Well, I've got to see this." And I said, "See what?" And all of a sudden, the panel where you would normally have buttons in an elevator,
mm-hmm.
a panel flipped open. And there on this panel was what I can only describe what looked like an eyepiece where you put your eyes. And
I know, like a scan.
Like a retina scan, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her, and she looked at the thing, and she looked at me, and I stepped up to it, and I put my head down there and put my eyes, rested my head where they were, where you would normally put it, and at this light, just went pew, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood up, and I was waiting, and she said, "You got to give a voice print analysis." Now, here's the funny thing, John. Here's the
mm-hmm.
funny thing. At that point in time when she said, "You have to give a voice print analysis," I don't know what I said out of my mouth. It was a slew of numbers. My name was 0888 alpha on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I can't tell you what the slew of numbers was, and the ending part was just my name with 0888 alpha. And automated voice came up that said, "Cleared." And she smiled and said, "Wow, you're important." And she got off the elevator really quick. Well, I start going down, and the elevator doors close, and I start going down. And it seems like it's really far down, sub-level's really far down. And it opens up, John, and I step out of the elevator, and I'm on a platform with two stairways going down, no more than five stairs to the actual floor. But what I see is just this. You would not believe it. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This huge room, and it was like the floor was just black, and I'm not talking like there were black tile on it. It was just shiny black. And there were computers just in circles, like if you've ever seen NASA, when they've got a space shuttle going, I'm talking like computer consoles that went into a half circle all over the place. And
have you found out what they are doing and what purpose they have?
All along the walls, up on close to the ceiling, were all these big, huge, like, the only thing I can describe is like a plasma screen. And they were huge. And there were several of them. And on these plasma screens, it looked to me like every monitoring from satellites, from CNN, from newscasts, and I may be wrong about that. I'm not saying that I saw a CNN little tag or anything like that. I'm just saying it looked like from this place, they were monitoring almost everything that was going on in the world. You understand what I'm saying?
And what do you think what the purpose was of that, what you saw?
for their agenda, for whatever they wanted to do, because they had satellite link-ups where I could see you, John.
So what you say is that Denver Airport could be the heart of, like, say, the oversight of...
Well, think about it. It makes perfect sense because the president's going to be whisked off, and he's, with the underground tunnel system that they have, he can be there where I was in less than 15 minutes using the
underground. David, the time is almost up. I have to round it up. What I do is I will call you next week again, and then we talk more freely because the time is up, and I have to announce something for tomorrow, a special guest that I have tomorrow about someone who also worked on an underground base in the United Kingdom. I wish to thank you so much. If it's okay with you, we can continue this story in the next week.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, David. And I'm going to talk further now on bbsradio.com because I have to mention and give a tip for tomorrow. Because tomorrow we have I have a guest on bentofmysteries.com web radio, and it's all about this guy who is from the MI6, the military intelligence, and I think he's just beginning to explain to the people about the secret project connected to missing children and the super soldiers, creating super soldiers and hybrids. Now, this is very fascinating. This guy has a vast knowledge on, and I think you too, by the way, but that is for next week. For people, go to untalkmissy.com or .eu and look at the information there. His name is James Casbold, and he worked for the MI6. He talks about underground bases, missing children, the alien agenda, and secret projects, and enhanced humans. Listen, enhanced humans using animal DNA to make it super soldiers. Now, it sounds ridiculous, but maybe it's true. Maybe there are hybrids running around, super soldiers. He also has a remote influence program that they use gifted children, and they're being trained to influence other people from a distance, remote influencing. So that will be tomorrow on Untold Mysteries Radio. So go to untoldmystery.com to know more about this special expose of the MI6 in the United Kingdom. I wish to thank you all for listening. Next week, we're going to continue listening to David, Caesar Effect on Paltalk is his name, and we talk about underground base in Denver on Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine on bbsradio.com. Till next week. Bye-bye.